Appreciate the spirit in here tonight. Appreciate your good attitudes. I came in with a bad attitude, and I'm sorry about that. Complaining to Russell, Miss Pam, and everything breaking this week. I'm sorry. Yeah, come in the wrong spirit. And got a lot to be thankful for. Psalms 37 tonight, Psalms 37. Got a note here I keep forgetting to announce. Next month, September 13th, is recognized as Grandparents' Day. We decided to recognize it here as Grandparents' Day as well. We're going to have a special supper, I believe it is. You know what time? Probably night service. Probably do a special night service, kind of like we did at Valentine's Banquet, and have a special meal for the grandparents and serve them and have a message there for them. If you're not a grandparent, meet with Natalie to figure out what to do, what to cook. That's September 13th is the day. But anyways, I want to go ahead and let you know about that and give you a heads up. And I'm supposed to Sunday, and I'm terrible about announcing things. It's also Miss Amanda's birthday. So special recognition. Psalms 37, you would stand, would you find your place there? So the verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Let's go down to verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Verse number 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Verse number 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This psalm is it's an interesting psalm. It contains a lot of verses that are pretty familiar to us. You probably recognize a few of the verses I read there. You probably heard them before. This is a psalm of King David, wrote while he's a king. It's an interesting psalm. You look at Psalms 73, 37, you flip it. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, but it's written pretty much about the same thing. They're written about the evildoers and how everybody that's doing wicked is prospering, but those who are righteous are not doing so well. And it's talking about how they'll have an end, but we will not have an end. Interesting there, the comparison between the two psalms. You can go back and do that later on. This chapter here, Psalms 37, is what I'm going to focus on tonight. These promises, many of these promises here, are written about the nation of Israel, the remnant of Israel. We have to be wise while we read this, not to start and teaching or preaching heresy. You've got to realize who the promises is written to. A lot of these promises are written specifically to Israel. However, we know that, like I mentioned before, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. So even though these promises may be written about inheriting the earth, are written to the remnant of saved Jews, there's a lesson for us here to learn. There's a lot we can learn here. I've been preaching some on why do bad things happen to good people, basing out of Romans 28. I told you Sunday night that would be the last one there, and I still am planning on that. This message here is kind of following along with that same path. And I'm not quite sure why the Lord keeps leading me in this direction. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe the Lord's helping me with it. Maybe it's just for me, but I find that hard to believe. I believe the Lord may be trying to help somebody here. He surely wouldn't give just this message just for myself. But if you read through this psalm, you begin to notice, as I did, that many of these verses begin with an action verb. I know this isn't an English class. Start school next week anyway, kids, so it'd be good. Many of these verses start with an action verb. Verse number 1, fret not. Verse 3, trust the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself. Verse 5, commit thy ways. Verse 7, rest the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger. Over and over again, there's a lot of these verses start with a verb, with an action verb. You get the point. David here is giving us some instructions on what to do when we're going through a hard time. I'm not going to cover everything in this passage. There's some prophecy here. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. Don't have time for all that. But I want to focus on this thought, actions to take while you wait. There's one action word here that does not involve very much action at all. Look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Not something I like to talk about, waiting. Not only does it say wait, it says wait patiently. You know what that phrase wait patiently means? Probably not what you think. It means to twist or whirl in a circular manner. It means to dance. It means to writhe in pain. Best I can learn from that from different men I've read after, when the verse, what the word means in particular, you ever seen a little kid, and they're just potty trained, they need to go to the restroom, they put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off, and eventually they're dancing in circles, twirling, circular, writhing in pain, waiting patiently to be able to go to the restroom. That's what I can find this word means here. It means to wait patiently, means to writhe in pain, waiting while writhing in pain. Not very fun. We call that the potty dance. I was trying to tell if I want to say that or not. We call that the potty dance. Anyway, you can start calling it waiting patiently. We wouldn't call that. Have you ever felt like that before while you're waiting on God? You feel like you're writhing in pain. Lord, are you ever going to do anything about this? I need help right now. You feel like you're writhing in pain. Does that not feel like you feel like you're not going to survive, but you're waiting and you're trying your best to wait patiently? Not very fun. Not only that, look at verse number 9. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That word wait there means to expect and to collect, like an expectant mother waits on the birth of a baby. She's waiting for something to happen. It means to wait patiently for something you are excited about happening. Waiting, it mentions again in verse number 34. It's the same word there, using verse number 9. Waiting is not something we like to talk about. We've been trying to teach our two older kids to learn the meaning of the word hurry. We're tired of waiting, trying to teach them what hurry means. They don't understand it yet. We don't like waiting. None of us like to wait. We live in a microwave society, 30 minutes or less, and that's what we want. It's one thing that's driven me crazy, being here on the island, is trying to get things done quickly, trying to get parts for cars or equipment. Trying to get it quickly is not going to happen. Back home, you get stuff as soon as you need it. You got to wait for shipping here. Anyway, I got to learn how to wait. There are many times in our walks with God that we have to learn to wait on God. Then in verse number 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I heard a story about George Mueller, great prayer warrior of history. If you want to grow in your faith in prayer, just read his biography. You learn a lot. He ran the huge orphanage there in England on nothing but faith. There were many days they wouldn't even have milk or food to feed the kids, and they would gather the kids around the table so they could eat, and there'd be no food to feed them. And they sit down and they pray for food, and food would show up at the door. You want to grow your prayer life, read his biography. Anyway, I read there was a man that came to visit George Mueller. He says that he walked into the study of George Mueller, and George Mueller's Bible was opened up, this Psalms 37, and he had circled verse number 23. And he wrote in the margin of his Bible, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the stops of a good man are also ordered by the Lord. But George Mueller said, sometimes when we are on our walk with the Lord, sometimes he just stops us. This past 6 months, to me, it's felt like he's stopped us here. We are going and growing, doing good, and then all of a sudden, it's like hitting a brick wall and stop and can't go forward, can't do more. We just feel like we're stuck. Back to what I've been preaching on. We may not understand what all God is doing, may not like it, but God has a plan. Have you ever been there before? Doing good, trying to follow God's will and God's way, and all of a sudden, it's like you hit a brick wall and boom, you stopped. You're stopped dead in your tracks. No more advancing. It's just constant battles and constant trouble and can't seem to move forward. Have you ever been there before? Maybe not. Maybe it's just for me. I've been there. It's like I've been there for a while now. You get the point. You say, what am I supposed to do when I'm stopped? I've been sitting here waiting patiently, writhing in pain for quite some time. What am I supposed to do while I'm waiting on God? I'm tired of waiting. What am I supposed to do about it? If you can't advance forward because God has stopped you, what are you supposed to do in the meantime? Well, I believe there's a list here, the actions you can take while you wait. While you wait on God, what are you supposed to do? I believe David writes this down right here for us. Verse by verse, you can see the instructions on how, what to do while you wait. Actions to take while you wait. Number one, starting verse number 1, fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That word fret means to glow or grow warm, to blaze up with anger. It means to burn up. It means to have a temper, bad temper. David says, don't get angry. Don't lose your temper while you're waiting. Don't lose your temper because of evildoers. We are stopped by God. We have to wait because of evildoers. What is usually our first response? Us men especially, if something happens and we are stopped, what's our first response? Our face grows red and we get mad and we have flaming mad. That's what that word means. Go on a rampage. All you men are hanging your heads. Maybe it's just me. Listen, okay. I used to have this teacher in school in fifth and sixth grade, and there was two kids in the class, troublemakers, and they would get the teacher mad, and you could watch as he start up here, he'd get red and red and red, and go down like a thermometer, and see how mad he was getting. It's like it's watching. Any of you ever gotten like that, get mad and red mad? That's what that word means, fretting on. Something goes wrong, get mad. What actions can we take while we wait? Number one, fret not. Don't lose your temper. It says, because of evildoers, need to be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. There's a reason we are given that verse in 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We're not apt. We're not supposed to compare ourselves with others, with one another, or compare us with someone outside of the church. David says, fret not. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what the enemy is doing, what they're getting accomplished. Don't let your blood boil. Fret not. Don't lose your temper. Actions to take. What are you supposed to do? Number one, fret not. Don't lose your temper. Number two, trust. Verse number three, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Second action we can take while we're waiting, the Lord is just trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. It's easier said than done. Best thing we can do when things aren't going the way we want them to do, I can't talk tonight. Trust the Lord. I know this is kind of a rerun here. I've been preaching on that for a while now. Trust him and follow his plan. It's simple. It's why we usually don't like it. It's simple. Just trust him. Just trust what his plan. What's the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do? Just trust him. It's easier said than done. I understand. Just trust him. Verse 25, I've been young, and now I'm old. You have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You can trust him. He's taken care of him before. David said, I've never seen anybody forsaken. He can take care of you. Learn to trust him. Lord is much wiser than we are, whether you think that or not. He can handle it. When you're stopped, when you're waiting, the best thing you can do is just trust him. Talk to him. Spend some time with him and trust him. Number three, delight in him. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We all like to quote that verse, and we look at it, and we interpret it as just be happy and joyful in the Lord, and he'll give you whatever earthly desires you want. That's not what that means. Oh, I'm happy, and Jesus loves me, so he's gonna buy me a new car. I won't. I wish that was the way it works. Not how it works. Not what that means. The word picture we have here with this word delight is not what you might think. The word delight means to be soft or pliable. It means to be like the potter in a chunk of clay, it'd be pliable. How the clay is molded and fashioned and turned, and the water of the word is poured in. The potter continues to turn and spin and mold it, and make it into what it needs to be. Much like Joseph, we talked about a couple weeks ago. You delight yourself also in the Lord. Give yourself to him wholly and fully. Give your life over to him to be molded and pliable so he can mold you and make you what you need to be, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. I believe that means that he'll place in your heart the desires that you ought to have. Giving yourself to him, let it allow him to mold you and make you and give you, put in your heart what you need to desire. I don't believe this means he grants you anything you want. That's not what this is saying. He's not some genie you rub the lamp and get what you want. That's not how this works. You delight yourself in the Lord. You give yourself to the Lord, and he'll give you your heart the desires your heart needs to have. You don't believe me? Before you're saved, do you have any desire to read your Bible, any desire to pray, any desire to come to the house of God before you were saved, other than just a social function? Did you have any desire before you were saved? I imagine you did not. Why not? Because it was not desire of your heart. But once you are saved, there's now something burning inside of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, pushing you and prodding you to read your Bible, and pushing you, prodding you to pray, and pushing you to assemble yourselves together as a church. What happened? He shall give thee the desires of an heart. Put a desire in your heart to be right. That's not the definition that our flesh wants to hear of this verse, but I believe it's true, at least what the verse says. What is an action we can take while we're waiting? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Be made soft and pliable for him. Allow him to mold you and make you what you need to be, what you ought to be. This makes me feel old, but you probably make some of you feel even older. You remember when they used to have actual film inside of a camera? Now, that was back when I was a little baby. Anyway. We had the disposable cameras, and before the disposable cameras, you had the actual film. You bought the rolls of film, bag of roll of film. I can kind of sort of remember that way back then. Anyway, you take your film, you take all your pictures, and you take your film out of the camera, put it in a little container, take it to the store, and you drop it off, and you have to develop it. The developer, he would take that film, and he would guard it from light, keep it in a dark container, and guard it from the light. Take it into a dark room, and he'd place it in solution. He'd go through that either entire process and take what was captured in that film and make it into a larger print for you to buy and take home with you. The film had to go through a dark time to be made something useful, something beautiful, or at least useful, maybe not so beautiful, depending on who the picture was. Oh, it took time. There was a waiting period. It took some dark and some cold situations. That solution eventually, the film turned into something that others could look on, something that made something that others could see. What actions can you take while you wait? You can fret not, you can trust, and you can delight. Sit close to God in the dark times. Just trust Him in the dark times. Let Him to mold you and make you into what you need to be so you can be useful. Let Him put the desires in your heart you need to have so you can be useful for Him. Don't forget your Bible reading in the dark times. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to spend time with Him in the dark times. What do you do while you wait? Take action. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Get up close to Him in the dark times. Number four, verse number five, commit to Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It means just what it says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The word picture is to roll thy way into the Lord. Give it to Him. Just give it to Him. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Don't forget to spend some time with the Lord in the dark times. When times are hard, don't slack off on your Bible. When times are hard, don't slack off on your praying. In fact, that's when you need to do more. Spend more time with Him. Read more and pray more. Commit thy way into the Lord. Follow Him and trust Him. Make a commitment to spend time with Him. Make a commitment down in your heart that you will not quit on God, no matter the obstacle, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how long the dark time is. Make a commitment to Him. Commit thy way unto Him. As an action you can take while in the dark time. Number five, verse number seven. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That word rest, it means to be dumb, to be silent, cannot speak. It means to just stop speaking. What action can you take while you're waiting on God? Just stop. Stop speaking. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Stop complaining. What I was apologizing for earlier. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to throw blame at someone. Stop trying to point fingers at other people. Stop everything. Just rest in the Lord. When's the last time you just slowed down? You stopped speaking. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. And you just rested in Him. And just waited for Him to show you which way. Just waited for Him to give you some help. And yeah, there are hard times. Yeah, there are times that aren't as fun as other times. But God has been good the entire time. He's always good. When's the last time you quit telling God all your trouble and you just stopped and you listened to Him for a little while? Listen to God. Just listen to Him. You say, he's not speaking to me. Probably because you're not quiet enough. Let Him remind you of all the times He's protected you. Let Him remind you of all the times He's rescued you. Let Him remind you of all the times He's used you and watched over you. What action can you take while you wait? Sometimes the best thing to do is nothing at all. Quit trying to fix it on your own. Just rest in the Lord. Just be quiet. If you will fret not and you'll trust and you'll delight and you'll commit, you'll be able to sit back and rest in God and know that everything's going to be okay. You may be writhing in pain while you wait patiently, like a little boy needs your restroom, or anxiously waiting like an expectant mother. But it'll do us all well to learn to wait and rest in the Lord. Quit telling God what to do. Listen to Him. We like to go to God with our grocery list of prayers, is what I call it. Lord, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need the milk and the eggs and the cheese and so on and so forth. When's the last time we actually waited on Him and thanked Him for something He's done? Yeah. We do us all well just to slow down and learn to rest in Him. A preacher years ago taught me this, and I try to make it a habit. I don't do it every time, but every time I pray, start with a thanks. Thank Him for something. Thanks for what He's done for me and watching over me. And that's what I try to do. God is not, like I said a minute ago, He's not some maid. He's not some genie you can rub the lamp and get what you want. That's not how this thing works. Learn to start with some thanksgiving. Thank Him for your health and for your family and for whatever you have. If nothing else, it'll put your heart and your mind in the right attitude. Learn how to pray. You need to learn to slow down and just rest in the Lord. Wait on Him. Just be quiet. Trust Him. Number six, learn how to cease. Verse number eight. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Kind of already covered this in verse number one. Cease from anger. It means what you think. A cease from anger means to slacken from breathing hard. It means to calm down. Forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I don't believe you ought to be noodle backs. I mean, I believe you ought to be able to take a stand. And I preached on that Sunday morning, taking a stand. There's a big difference between taking a stand and being an angry jerk about it. There are many times folks take a stand and they're just wanting to pick a fight. There's a big difference there. David says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Just get away from it. Forsake it. Just forget about it. Just do what you're supposed to do and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just follow God. You rest in the Lord. You trust in Him. Commit your ways unto Him and don't worry about everybody else. Cease from anger. He says, fret not, trust, delight, commit, rest, and cease. What action should we take when we're waiting? There you go. All that's well and good practical application how to handle hard times given by David. Here's the best part of this chapter. Look at verse number 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Get down to the end of the chapter. Now the Lord is taking action while we wait. The salvation is of the righteous, is of the Lord. He is in control. He shall help them, deliver them. He shall save them because they trust in him. Do you trust him? Quit trying to fix all your problems on your own. Learn to wait on God and rest in God. And while you wait, here's some stuff to do. Usually in a waiting room, there will be things to keep you entertained. You got TV and magazines and things for the kids to do in a waiting room. Here's your entertainment in the waiting room. Fret not. Trust, delight, commit, rest, and cease. And pretty soon the Lord is going to take some action, deliver you from the enemy. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which what I have promised to them that love him. Just wait on God. He's going to take care of it. David said he's never seen the righteous forsaken. He's going to handle it. Lord can take care of it. Just wait on God. Quit trying to fix it on your own. Learn to rest in him. Learn to be quiet for a little while and listen to him. Just some actions you can take while you wait. We don't like to wait on God. There's a few things we can do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the church. Lord, thank you for the spirit we have here tonight. Lord, thank you for the thankfulness we have here. Lord, thank you for watching over me and my family. Lord, I pray you help us the rest of this week, and we pray help our church in Jesus' name.